Well, I want to thank you, church. Guys, you might want to turn up the lights just a little bit right now. Might as well go ahead and do that. I just want to thank you for doing such a great job on Friday night and bringing a bunch of you in white and supporting the Christian school. That was a great evening together. But it was rocking in here. Dan had a bunch of people clapping that night, and it was a great evening. And yes, clap for your ministry, the school. Why don't you do that? We had senior night, so there was one senior, and it was Joey. Joey's up in the sound booth right now, and not only did he get the privilege of being there with his family, mom and dad, and everything, but he also had a fantastic game that night. It was kind of a fun thing to watch, and so I was just, you know, wanting to compliment you on raising your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think Lexi's here. Isn't Lexi, Alexis, she stepped out. She can't do that when I'm going to give her an honor and stuff. When you see Lexi after church, give her a big hug and, you know, be careful on the hug, but give her a great handshake and just let her know that you love her. I think she made 2 school records in swim meet about 2 weeks back. And so we really thank the Lord for her and her life. I'm just full of honor, joy today. I love our kids. Don't you? So many of them, there she is, look at her. Everybody look at Lexi right now. Lexi, I just was telling them how great of a swimmer you were, and 2 new records, I think, for Mount Gilead. Amen? Good job, girl. And then, you know, our team went up north. We were awful close to Michigan, so we kept talking about the state up north because there were some Michiganites there that were visiting. So Swanson family from Michigan was there watching the game because they were so close. And our boys played hard, and it went into overtime. And we lost because the enemy caused us to lose. I'm just teasing about that. Just kidding. 2 Christian schools going at it. It was fun. But what it reminded me of, all of that, was how we have to fight in our journey of sanctification. It's in Sunday school class a few weeks back. The guys spoke up. Matter of fact, it was the last Sunday of the year. We've been together now, those young people, and it's growing and continues to grow. New people, new young people are coming to this church. Did you know that? If you don't know that, shame on you. That means you're not here enough to know that. This church is growing, and it's growing especially in the young married area and young singles area of our church, and it's fantastic, it's powerful, and it's cool. And it wasn't that long ago they said, we need to talk about why this journey with Christ is so difficult. We sugarcoat it way too often. And I was thinking about how a journey is difficult, and I saw Barb Van Romer in the back. And she's been through it, but she's here praising the Lord. Hi, Barb. We thought that accident wasn't going to be so difficult, and it ended up being really hard on her body. That was quite an impact. And she's healing. She was even standing up during worship. It just kind of reminds us, doesn't it? The journey we're on with Christ, there's some pain involved. And to quote Matt Chandler, he would say, don't brush off the pain points. Revel in them for a little while. Look at the pain points in your life. That's where the growth comes. One of my boys who's playing basketball this year was saying that I kept trying to show him how to box out better. You dads would never do that, would you? You'd never, like, pretend like you knew what you were doing. And so I was trying to explain that, and he said, but you don't understand, I got hammered in my left shoulder. I couldn't even press on it. And it kind of struck me, you know, when you're wrestling with something in your life, and it gets a little painful to deal with it, and the Holy Spirit, like, presses on it, and it's like, don't do that. You don't want the Holy Spirit to press in on the pain points of your life because it reveals something. Another thing we talked about is recently in our Bible classes at 9:30. By the way, if you're not involved in a Bible class at 9:30, you need to get involved, because this is where growth comes. It's where growth happens in your life. Because what happens if you don't do that, you isolate yourself. And guess what happens when you isolate yourself? You get to thinking you're okay, and you're not. Because people will bring that thing out of you that needs to be brought out. When you least want it, you're going to find out that the exposing of your difficulty or your pain point is going to come through other people. So the easiest thing to do is just disassociate yourself with those people. And that's why most people have a different group of friends every 3 years or so. That's too much, and this is a kind of a slang term that's been thrown around now for several years. Too much drama in their life. So it's easier just to cut off the drama and go make new friends. These people are fun. These people are not. Again, that comes from some teaching from Matt Chandler. But the Lord has been speaking to us about a vision for who he is, what he is, how he can affect our life, how he can consume the darkness in our life. And he does that by revealing himself to us. How's your vision of Christ? How's your vision of your God? So we're going to delve into prayer. The only way, the only possible way for us to grow in Christ. And, you know, this old word of sanctification needs to be brought back out in our life. Holiness. Nobody thinks they are holy. And guess what? You're right. You're not. But Christ is. And if Christ is, and if he came into your life and you buried the old man and you were raised with him as a new man, as a new person in Christ, then you can be holy, or you can pursue his holiness. It's ongoing. It never stops. Amen to that. But we need to bring this back. And there's only one way. There's only one way that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord could come upon us and bring good news and set captives free and restore the brokenhearted and bring oil for those who are in mourning. There's only one way, and that's if we are in prayer and constant communication with the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times do we allow ourselves to be in constant communion with, or to be in communion with the Lord at all? There's no way you can see Jesus without being in communion with him, without praying. You know, the gift of prayer, I mean, the idea of prayer that's been given to us by God is a gift. It's such a glorious gift, a powerful gift. You don't have to go through anybody to talk to Jesus, to talk to the God of the universe, the spectacular, majestic, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere at all times, omnipresent Lord Jesus Christ of your life. You don't have to go through anyone, so why don't we go? Why do we just go through the week and through our life without spending time with him? And I'm not being critical, because I know that we do spend time. Some of you really understand what it's like to be in constant communion with prayer. The interesting thing is we've come to realize how fast we can talk to ourselves. You don't talk to yourselves, do you? I've heard about people in other churches talking to themselves. See, while I'm talking, you're talking to yourself. You're talking to yourself constantly. You can't stop talking to yourself. Be quiet, I'm talking. That was something I saw in a video. But you know, that's what really happens. We're constantly talking, so we never let God speak. Let God speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit empower you. Let him show you through some pain points what needs changed in our life. You ready in church to pray? See, we had our prayer time today. And that's just a start. That's just getting warmed up for what God expects or wants. It's not an expectation. Don't get hung up on, I have to do this at a certain time or I failed. That is nothing but past moralistic therapeutic deism that has been caused by legalistic teaching that is a mess in the church in America. You need to just know Jesus. We must see him. See him, church. Be like Isaiah. Find a way. Get on our faces. Search our hearts. Become like Moses, which we're going to look at here a little bit. And it's interesting what happened to the people when they decided, you mean God might not speak to us? They got too busy talking and doing things that weren't of God. See, so, you know, we get, it's real easy for us to look at the children of Israel in Exodus and see that they built a golden calf and say, oh, we'd never do that. We'd never, like, melt a bunch of gold. Gold's too valuable. I'll never do that. I'd sell the gold. I wouldn't, you know, melt it and build something with it. I'd sell it. Church, why are we, as human beings, so attracted to shiny things? What is the idol in your life? See, the nation of Israel built an idol, and they were coming out of all that. And of course, God pretty much wanted to get rid of them all. We hit Exodus 33, so I'd ask you to turn to Exodus 33. We'll read the first, I think, 16 verses. Actually, it's only 11. Should be through 16. Well, we'll go through 16. I may stop it at 11, then we'll do 12 through 16 in a little while. So let's stand together. Then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. Remember, this was the promise. But I will not go with you. That should say something to you. If God ever said that to you, wouldn't you like stand up and take notice? Because you are stiff-necked people. I always like that word. And I might destroy you on the way. don't you want to have a prayer like this? I mean, just talk to God, then he says, I might just kill you on your way to Marion or something. When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn. Well, it's about time. They began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments. In other words, they stripped themselves of anything that was a distraction. For the Lord had said to Moses, tell the Israelites, you are a stiff-necked people. You ever had a stiff neck? It's not good. If I were to go with you, even for a moment, I might destroy you. This is a joyful lesson, isn't it? Now take off your ornaments, and I will decide what to do with you. So the Israelites stripped off their ornaments at Mount Horeb. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances, watching Moses until he entered. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. That's what our longing should be like. As a man speaks with his friend, then Moses would return to the camp. But his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Everybody needs a Joshua. Lord, quicken these words and more to our heart. Amen, Jesus. You may be seated. So we're talking about prayer, church. We're going to embark on a journey to Easter in regards to prayer and holiness that we've never experienced before, because I know that Gilead Friends is ready because the Lord has said so, but we must go together. We must strip ourselves of anything that is a distraction, of all things that are not of Him, and prepare ourselves to see the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, to see the vision we've been talking about for week after week after week. It's been since January, the first Sunday in January, we've been talking about a vision of Christ. See, we get so easily entangled and snared up into what kind of actions, what kind of programs, what kind of ministries we need to set forth, which is all good, but it's nothing if we don't have a vision of Jesus Christ. If we don't have an opportunity on a daily basis or that's the wrong way to say it. If we don't always and continually aren't in fellowship with him, we must see Christ in our life. So what is prayer? Even on Sundays, we make it a list of requests. Prayer starts from the moment that you acknowledge him as Lord and Savior of your heart, and you, by faith, trust him with your life. Your prayer life has begun. Others have been praying for you before that. Prayer, I love this here, is a means of praise and adoration. Do we even think of prayer that way? We went through worship this morning. Dan led us in some really introspective songs. And then he tried to get us to clap. You know, I was still dealing with, you know, pouring my heart out in that song with David Crowder. And then we sang Jailbreak. And you guys didn't know what to do with yourselves. You weren't used to the idea that prayer is praise and adoration. We started to sing Jailbreak of the truth of the fact of the matter that we've been set free. When you've been set free, you can see Jesus. It's not until you're set free that you can even know who he is. And so, we first and foremost must understand. I don't know if we'll get past this slide today. I really don't. Because I know we don't understand prayer. I mean, we understand bits and pieces of it in segments and in little tangents of it. We get pieces of understanding from what the Lord would have us, and certainly the Holy Spirit continues to move and mold us and make us and help us to see him, you know, and to understand this gift of prayer. But church, until we understand it's all about him, in aligning ourselves, relinquishing ourselves, emptying ourselves of ourselves. You'll see that here in a minute, maybe. If we don't get that part right from the get-go, we'll miss the whole thing. We'll never have an understanding of prayer. Prayer is a means of praise and adoration. So, you know, we look in this chat, in this passage, and it's like, whoa. I hope I never offend the Lord that way, don't we? None of us would think that we have idols in our life, would we? You know, the best way for me to explain an idol, I've said it before, but it's been a long time, so let me say it again. There are many good things in life. The Lord loves things. The Lord made things. Matter matters to God. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. He loves what his creation, which you are a part of, oh, by the way. So he's elevated you above all creation, created in his image. He loves you. He wants to bestow upon you great and good things. Bless you. Bless your going. Bless your coming. Bless your descendants. Bless your children. He desires to give good gifts to his children. Truth, absolute truth. Amen. But this God is aching for you to know him. In a week or so, we're going to have a table out in the back, and it's going to have some books for you to just have. I'm curious to see. Now remember, always, I mean, I hope you know that without me saying it. This is the book. But what other books do to help you is to help you see maybe another person's journey in growing in Christ. So there's going to be a table of books out there, things like The Knowledge of the Holy, Knowing God, The Cost of Discipleship. I'm going to encourage you to take advantage of those because you, by doing so, you'll see a new vision of Jesus Christ in your life as revealed through his word. Christ wants us to bask in his glory, to begin to see the power of the living God in our life. It begins in prayer. So, prayer. A means of praise and adoration. First thing I would like us this morning to, and I appreciate if you do take notes. You don't have to take everything down. I mean, all you have to, like, on a point like this, put point one down and put focused on God's presence. If you're a voracious note taker, great. Write it all down. I'll be impressed. Church, do you think that we as a people are truly focused on His presence? Let me ask you a question to do some self-examination, maybe later for you. What are the distractions in your life? What causes you to keep your eyes or to causes your eyes to be cast away from Christ? What happens? I mean, we have case history, case after case after case history written down for us. What causes our eyes to be distracted from a vision of who Christ is in our life? What are the idols in your life, church? An idol is anything that becomes the ultimate thing. There are a lot of great things, tremendous blessings in life. We talked about that. God loves giving us those. But anything that becomes the ultimate thing, that takes the place of Jesus Christ in our life, becomes an idol in our life. It just does. We were teasing about some things in class, and they're not really teasing, but sometimes you have to boil it down to the simplistic things of life in order to see what keeps us from the power and majesty of our Lord and Savior in our life on a daily basis. So we talked about sleeves of cookies. Now, I've been hearing that the Girl Scouts are making tremendous sales this year, which is fantastic. I'm all for it. I love Thin Mints. I really, 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 really do love Thin Mints. There's been times when we've had boxes in the freezer of Thin Mints just in case. I mean, it could be a snowstorm. And you got to have Thin Mints in the house, right? I'm boiling this down to the simple things so that you can catch a vision of what may be going on in your life. It's really easy to take one of those cellophane sleeves of Thin Mints and eat the entire sleeve with milk. I'm hearing some amens to that. That scares me. Should be a lot more amens to this word that we preached, and that was dead silent. Conviction's good. So, boiling things down to some really simple, silly, trite stuff. For some people, food can become an idol that takes place, that just removes Christ off the throne. We don't want to talk about things like that. Christians are allowed to consume as much coffee as you want and as much food as you want. Those aren't sins. That's Christian prerogative. Pastor Charles always would say when he started preaching like that, now I've gone to meddling. So I want you to be honest with Christ this week. You cannot be consumed by His presence and see His face and fall on your face and say, woe is me, I am ruined, I am broken up, I am destroyed by the vision of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, rebuild me. You can't utter those words unless you deal with whatever is on the throne that keeps you from seeing Jesus on His throne. Because no matter how we would like to remove Him, He doesn't move. He is immovable, unchangeable, immeasurable, the God of the universe. So no matter what we think, I love it when some people say, I just tell it the way it is. I'm just direct and I just tell it the way it is. Well, guess what? No, you're just rude, crass, and in sin. Because if you're offending people, What you're doing is now one-on-one accountability is good. But I just tell it the way it is. You're probably not. You're probably totally off aberrant and you don't even know the Word of God. Search your heart, search the Word before you ever get with somebody and talk about what's going on in their life. Make sure you're in the presence of God and you have purified yourself to the point where you know that you have the authority to have an accountability partner. And by the way, accountability is so critical and so important. We all must have that person. If you don't have that person, you have pride in your life and you're on the throne. Now, it may be that you haven't found that person. What I'm saying is if you have the attitude that you don't need that person, let me clarify. If you have the attitude that you don't need a person in your life to hold you accountable, that means simply that you are on the throne. If you say to yourself, I don't need that, the Lord does that for me, praise God, that's good, that's possible, that's powerful, but it's probably wrong, you're probably being arrogant. You need accountability in your life because people will bring out the thing in you that you so desperately need to deal with. You know this. The only reason you would argue with that point is if your pride is so high, you would like to argue it. So, that's what was happening with, you know, some of you husbands and wives, by the way, have that, and that's really cool. Some of you can do that. Some of you cannot, so therefore you need somebody else. I mean, I think that's, you know, the original design probably was for that. I find that it's very difficult for husbands and wives to do that for each other. I mean, I find that it's really difficult. So, not that it's impossible. So, just know that. I mean, that's cool if that can happen. Okay. Let's look at these three things. You've already read them. You're already on to the next slide, which isn't up there. But grace for confession and humility. I mean, when prayer is about praise and adoration, you know, you have to come into it. That's what I so love about music at the beginning of church services. It's so powerful because we begin to lay down our life. If you're open, if you're allowing the Holy Spirit to speak, if you're broken, if you're mean, if you mean that you're a son of God or a daughter of God, if you really, truly are searching His heart, if you're wanting to grow, if you want to be more like Him, if you really want to experience Christ and not just go to heaven. Going to heaven's a result, church. Going to be with the Heavenly Father, sure, it's absolutely spectacular, but if our focus is that we're just becoming, you know, to church and we're trusting in faith in Christ because that keeps us from hell, that's a start, but that's pretty weak. It's a start. I mean, that's maybe what brought us. That may be why we first came, because the terror of the Lord is real when it comes to judgment. But boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, church, you can't stop there. If your desire isn't to just know Him, to be more like Him, to be consumed by Him, to be basking in His presence, if that's not our desire, we don't know prayer and we don't know God. So prayer begins, and don't make this a formula, because sometimes the greatest prayer of all is what? Help! Don't make formulas out of this. Don't create a legalistic 1 through 10. The minute you do that, you failed again. But these are important things to know. I don't care if your notes go all over the place. Make number 3 number 1. Make number 2 number 3. I don't care. Don't get legalistic about prayer. Just seek the Lord. Seek the Lord by praise and adoration, and He will consume you. His fire will rest upon you. You will be so changed that you'll have no more fear. Fear won't be, there'll be anxieties. Obviously, you're human. There'll be concerns. There's where your accountability person comes in. But you won't have fear. There is no fear in Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So, come to Him with confession and humility. And the second one is so powerful. When we get this, when we soak it in, when we let it motivate us, move us, change us, all of a sudden there's this desire that His church, us, Gilead, and other churches, of course, other bodies of the church, other bodies of believers of the church, but us in particular, this is where you're planted. God knew that. He destined that. He destined it. He created you for that. He made you for this time and place. He's placed you here. Stop looking for some other place. I've done that many times in my life. I resigned 5 times. I'm still here. I know. You can get rid of me. Just say so. I'll be gone. But what I'm saying is, you don't have the final say in that. If you're fighting against that, wrestling against that, you're not praying, you're just talking. Rest in the fact that in Acts 17:26 it says, I knew when you would be born, I knew where you would live, I knew what your purpose would be, first and foremost to glorify him, and under that, the vision that he has for you in his kingdom. So rest in it. Rest in it. Glorify his name in every activity of your life. This is an incredible place to live. It really is. It's a powerful place to live. It's one of the only places on the planet where the Church of Jesus Christ could get a vision for him, for his kingdom's sake, and the entire community could be changed into his likeness. We should make it a goal. That should be our mission. That should be our vision underneath his. But what I love about this is that God wants our church to flourish. He expects us to flourish with an impact on his community, a vision of God, to know God and to see his glory. Amen? Okay, so let's move on. Bold and specific. Prayer needs to be bold and specific. So if you are taking notes, if you want to be focused, obviously focused on his presence and kingdom, bold and specific prayer. See, sometimes, and we do pretty good at the specific. I really think we do. We do pretty well in that area, but it's almost always for the list. It's always for the list of people, and that's okay. That's what we see. We see symptoms of sin, and we pray for those symptoms. Somebody's hurt. Somebody's really unhealthy. Somebody's in a financial need, and that's all very, very good, but it's still symptoms of the core sin in our lives, which is pride. Pride, pride, pride. Pride keeps us from praising him. Pride keeps us from adoring him. There's only one sin, and that sin is wanting to be like and be God. Everything else is a symptomatic sin. You know that. Sometimes we don't say it that plainly, but it's just the truth. The enemy of our heart and our soul moves around, crawls around, creeps around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Don't be his food. Again, we saw a clip this morning, so it's fresh in my mind. There's a phrase that keeps this phrase is good. It'll help you in clearing your channel to God in prayer, clearing your life, emptying yourself. This phrase is really, really fun. If there's something in your life, and it's probably nothing big, it's probably something small, but it's a roaring lion, and you can't tame it, stop playing with it. Lions aren't meant to be played with. They're not meant to try to tame. Stop taming that thing. Stop trying to play with it. Drag it out. This is a Chandler clip. Drag that thing out in the street, in the middle of the street, and shoot it in the head. Now, in Marr County, I think we can get away saying that. I like it. For you guys, that's probably a helpful image. For you ladies, you come up with your own image, maybe. Maybe, I don't know what that is exactly. But it's still very powerful, even if it's not your favorite one, because it's the truth. It's usually the things that are unspoken, things that are not talked about, the obstacles and the hurdles in our life that are, they don't seem like big things, but they're keeping us from the presence of God. They're keeping us from growing. They're keeping us from being made holy. Empty ourselves. The Lord told the people to empty themselves in Exodus. Empty yourself. We'd be good at, you know, doing away with a few things for that week. Oh, I'll go without coffee. I'll go without this. And sometimes that's the right kind of fasting. Sometimes that's absolutely a call of the Lord on your life. Okay, but that's not what this is talking about. Empty yourself of yourself. In our current vernacular, we'd say, get over yourself. Don't dramatize everything and make it about you. You can't see God unless you empty yourself of yourself. Examine. We talked about this already. Examine. Then purify ourselves with his gospel. See? So often we try to cure ourselves by attacking the symptoms. Don't attack symptoms. Deal with the heart issue. So let's read Moses' response in verses 12 to 16. Exodus 33. Now, don't forget what God just said to him. Remember, you probably remember that part, don't you? Go ahead and go where I promised you. I'm not going, and I might kill you on the way. Don't forget that God said that. Verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." Isn't this a great prayer, church? Remember that this church is God's. It's God's church. We're his people. The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not even send us up there or from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" Gillian, what distinguishes us from all other people on the earth? Isn't this an amazing dialogue? Can't you see yourself in this a little bit? I hope you do, because there are times in our lives, if you'll admit it, you feel just like this. I've heard so many people, so many guys in particular, say that I'm not talking to God and he's not talking to me. And this dialogue kind of illustrates that for us, kind of shows us, you know, God's there. He's always listening. He wants your very best. He wants to bless you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But there are times when he needs to make a point in our life. Amen. And he will allow almost anything. If it's the lion that you haven't shot in the head, he'll allow almost anything to distract you or to allow you to be brought closer to his heart. He may allow almost anything in your life. You know that. So our prayers, yes, bold and specific, but these things must happen in order for us to be ready to hear from the Lord and for him to hear from us. Purify yourself with the gospel. See, the gospel of Jesus Christ empties ourselves, cleanses ourselves. When you bathe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, these things just happen. Let him bathe you. Let you bask in him and let him bathe you in his presence. How many of you guys like bubble baths? I used to have, I know that was, wasn't that way off the wall and crazy? I did that on purpose because half of you were asleep because you're talking to yourself instead of listening to the Spirit. I used to have an old clawfoot tub in this old farmhouse. I didn't realize how cool it was until I didn't have it. Any of you have one of those big old things? Cast iron? Yeah, Phil has it. It's mine. Give it back to me, will you? You know, those things are a lot neater than I thought they were, because you can fill those things up. You know, you can have a rubber duck if you want or whatever, and you just bask in that. I like it hot. I mean hot. Hot water. And it's interesting. I remember the Lord speaking to me many times during that bath. And I never had a shower. Our old farmhouse had a slanted roof, and you couldn't put a shower in it. We didn't have one. Well, now we have that, but I don't have my tub. I'd rather have the tub. I didn't realize how much I'd rather, because we always were whining and complaining for a shower. Now the boys love the shower, blah, blah, blah. I miss my tub. I could just bask in that warm, healing water. Well, see, I'm young, but some of y'all are old, and you can understand what I'm saying. So, you know, your bones start feeling better, your muscles quit aching. You can say you can do the same thing in the shower. No, you can't. You can breathe some good steam in because I got a cold, and that works, but you can't just bask in your bath. The Lord wants you, church, to just revel in his love. Just bask in his presence. Just be healed by his comfort. Be empowered by his healing. Aroma of the throne of Jesus Christ. Purify yourselves. And Moses' prayer was interesting, isn't it? Isn't it powerful, his relationship with God? And you say, Moses, I'm not Moses. Well, no, you're not. Praise God you're not. He had a miserable life most of the time. But he found favor with God because he obeyed. You'll find the same favor. Moses isn't any better person than you. God isn't a respecter of persons. Get into the name of the Lord, a mighty and strong tower. You run into that and you'll be safe. You'll experience that basking in his presence. You are not any less of a person, a son or a daughter, than Moses. For crying out loud, look at his life. He's a miserable failure. Accept that. He knew his God and he repented and he became more and more like Jesus Christ, and he spoke to God as though he was a friend. Are you speaking to God as though he's a friend, church? He wants so desperately to have that relationship with you. So we have to close today. I'm sorry. But requesting a personal experience of his presence and glory, you'll notice that all through this morning, it's about praise and adoration. Praise and adoration. Prayer, praise and adoration. So, pray without ceasing. Pray long, pray hard, pray more. You know, that sounds silly, but listen, are you doing it? Are we doing it? And I'm not, you know, this, I like intellectual stuff. I'd read a book. I'd read two books before I'd spend 2 hours in prayer. Or, and don't, there's a legalistic thing. You know what I'm saying though, right? I would read about God. I would read about things before I would spend more time with God. And it's a problematic issue in our country, especially across the world. I mean, it's the enemy's tool, but it's also so critically a problem in the United States, even in our culture. I mean, the other day, you know, the four boys and I were doing this, and we were in the same room, couch, chair, and we were all, you know, doing this. And I was realizing that we're not communicating to each other even at that moment. We're pretty good at it, actually, for guys. You know, we actually like each other. My boys and I, we love each other. But I was shocked that we were just spending precious time on phones. And it was such a natural thing to do. What's distracting you from spending time with your Father? Whatever it is. Whatever's distracting you, whatever is encumbering you, whatever that hurdle is, whatever that idol is in your life, I want you to, and somebody in Sunday school class, I think it was Braylon, said, don't do it by yourself, for crying out loud. Don't grab a lion behind the neck by yourself. This is good. You probably need somebody to help you to grab that lion by the neck. Pull it out in the middle of your country road that doesn't have any traffic at the moment and shoot it in the head. Okay? Enough said, case closed, stand. Pray long, pray hard, pray more. This was nothing but an introduction. We're not even close to scratching the surface on prayer. We're going to spend an amazing time together on it. But that's why we started with vision. We must see Jesus high and lifted up, his train filling the temple with angels and seraphim and the glory mist cloud surrounding us when we're in his presence. bow your heads, close your eyes, if you would. Ask God to, through the Holy Spirit's power, to search your heart. What is the lion that needs shot, needs killed by the power of the Holy Spirit? What is that thing, that hurdle, that thing in your life that keeps you from serving Him more powerfully, more purely, more clearly, more lovingly? We give you honor and praise, Jesus, as you wrap yourself around us. And the people of Gilead said, amen.